The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. If you want personal peace, it comes down to thinking right and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best and not the worst, the beautiful and not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse.
Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out we find real peace when our thoughts and emotions are in harmony with the Lord.
If you want personal peace, it involves the heart and the mind.
This is the day when the lost are found.
If you've run out of things to worry about, just turn on the news. It's one crisis after another, 24 hours a day. The old saying in the news business is, if it bleeds, it leads. But the Lord calls us to set our minds on things above. And today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie shows us why. When we've made our peace with God, it's so easy to enjoy the peace of God. Pastor Greg shows us how to enjoy a biblical worldview that's not mired in worry and fear.
Worry is a completely negative thing to have in your life. Actually, modern medical research has proven that worry breaks down our resistance to disease. It actually diseases the nervous system, specifically the digestive organs and the heart. 79 to 90% of all visits to primary care physicians are stress-related complaints. Now, this happened to me not long ago. I thought maybe I'm having a heart problem because I was feeling pressure in my chest. And I thought, is this a heart thing? And so I Googled symptoms of heart attack. It said pressure in chest. Yeah, I've got that. And then it said nausea. And I immediately felt nauseated. I mean, like right there, I felt nauseated. So I thought, I'm going to my doctor. I didn't even tell Kathy about this. She was out doing something. I drove to my doctor. I said, I'm afraid I might be having a heart attack. So he did an EKG on me. There was nothing wrong with me at all. Then the bill came a week later, and I did have a heart attack. Seriously, those things are expensive. Well, what I've been doing is I've been playing racquetball again. I used to do that many years ago. And in my attempt to get that crazy little ball, I've slammed up against the wall a few times. And so I bruised my chest hitting the wall. It's not a heart attack. It's just idiocy in action is what it actually is. But there's all these things that we worry about that don't help us at all, actually. So let's try to stop worrying. You say, well, it's easy for you to say, well, I know, but I want you to consider who wrote the words we're about to read. They were written by the Apostle Paul under adverse circumstances. When Paul wrote the words we're about to read, he was under house arrest, but he gives to us some of the most inspiring words found in the pages of Scripture, a series of verses that every believer should know and even commit to memory. I'm talking about Philippians 4, starting in verse 4, and we'll read down to verse 8. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing." Or literally, don't worry about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And look at this promise. "And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." This is the biblical worldview on overcoming fear and worry. Three elements I want to bring to your attention. It's right praying, verses 6 to 7. It's right thinking, verse 8. And finally, right living, verse 9. So right praying, right thinking, right living. Let's start with the first one, right praying. The next time you're tempted to worry, pray instead. Notice it says, with thanksgiving. with thanksgiving. That's an important element before the prayer is answered, because I take time to worship my Father and remind myself of His greatness and power. And in doing so, I automatically put my own problems into their proper perspective. When I see God in His glory, I see my problems the way I should see them. Big God, small problems. Big problems, small God. We need to pray that He will have His will in our life, and that we rejoice in the fact that He's in control. Daniel's life is a perfect example of this. Here's Daniel the prophet, an older man at this stage of his ministry, ministering to the leader of Babylon, Darius. And Darius valued the counsel of Daniel. Well, Daniel had some competition. There were other advisors to the king that didn't believe in his God, and they didn't like the fact that the king favored Daniel. So they wanted to get rid of him, but the problem for them at least was there were no skeletons in Daniel's closet. No sin for them to uncover. So they said, the only way we're going to trip this guy up is we catch him doing something with him and his God. So they got the king to unwittingly sign a decree that no one could pray to any god except the king himself. And Daniel heard about it and went to his house and opened up the windows as he always did and got down on his knees and he prayed. But even more, he gave thanks to God. It's important to give thanks to God. I think it's a great thing when people pray over their food at home and even in public places. You know, when you're in a restaurant, bow your head and thank the Lord for your meal. It's a great witness, I think, to other people around there to see a family praying together, don't you? Just make sure you leave a tip, because that when you don't leave a tip, it's a bad witness to the server, okay? And be generous. Don't be a cheapskate. So, you know, the idea is that we're giving thanks to God even before we have the answer that we may be hoping for. Daniel prayed, the Bible says, and he gave thanks to God and he made supplication for others. And this word is used here as well in Philippians. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Supplication is where you are praying for others. And sometimes praying for others puts your problems into perspective, right? Maybe you're having a hard day. Oh, I'm having such a hard day, Lord. I got a flat tire. Life is so hard. Why, God, would you allow this to happen to me? Then your Christian friend calls and says, would you pray for me? I just got the test back and I have cancer. Yes, I'll pray for you. And as you pray for them, suddenly you see how stupid you were being when you were complaining about your problem. Here's someone with a real problem, and your heart goes out to them. And as you make supplication for them, it helps you put your own issues into perspective. And everything by prayer and supplication, praying for others with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And what happens? And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And it's a peace that God can give you no matter what you're facing right now. So if you want to overcome fear and worry, you need to have right praying. Then number two, you need right thinking. Right thinking, if you're taking notes, you might write that down. Verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. Here's another translation of that verse. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best and not the worst, the beautiful and not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. I love this. If you want personal peace, it involves the heart and the mind. Because Isaiah 26 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. So think about what you think about. It's sort of like when you sit down to eat, it will affect you. For instance, I can't eat certain kinds of food late at night because I have acid reflux. What a drag it is, because I love to eat food late at night. And I love spicy food. How many of you like spicy food? I love spicy. I'm like Tabasco sauce on everything. Cholula on everything. I love it, you know. And so I have to think about it. So it's maybe at night, maybe 8 or 9 o'clock. I'm hungry. Oh, I'd love to eat some Mexican food. No way. Italian food. No way, because a tomato is acidic. So I have to make other choices. Also, I can't drink caffeine after 7 o'clock because it will keep me up all night. So there's a cutoff point for me and coffee. So I have to think about it because I know that coffee or that food will have a direct effect on me. So I need to look at that in life in general. This thing, this show I'm going to watch on TV, what kind of effect will it have on me? This movie that I'm about to go to, what effect will this movie have on me? This music I'm going to listen to, what effect will this have on me? See, if you want personal peace, it comes down to praying right, and it comes down to thinking right, and it comes down to guarding what you put in your mind.
In a moment, Pastor Greg takes us to some words from the psalmist David about how to quiet our minds in times of distress. Good Insight is coming next.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here, personally inviting you to join us for what we call Harvest at Home. It's a Bible study. It's a worship service. It's church in your home. Maybe you're not able to get out to your church right now. If so, join us for Harvest at Home. People are listening in from around the world. And listen to this. We have seen thousands of people make a commitment to follow Christ. So join us this weekend for Harvest at Home at harvest.org.
Well, today, Pastor Greg is helping us think biblically. We're discovering that if our minds are in tune with the Lord, it will lower our fear and worry. Let's continue.
Why is the mind important? Well, because this is command central right here. And by the way, why am I bald? Because grass doesn't grow on busy streets. See, that's us bald people. We know all the jokes. Trust me, we've heard them all. But it's right here. I think about something before I do it. I contemplate it here in my mind first. You see, with my mind, I reach to the past through memories. I reach to the future through imagination. So I need to learn how to think properly and biblically. And as 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So the next time you're troubled, you might try talking to yourself. Say, Greg, are you out of your mind? And well, listen to what I'm saying. Because we need to say to ourselves, think biblically, because these things don't always come naturally. For instance, we see the psalmist in some despair in Psalm 42. He says in Psalm 42, verse 15, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Know this, many of the psalms are songs and prayers, right? And they're honest. And as you read some of those psalms, he says things that you and I say. Well, I dare not pray that. No, go ahead and pray that. Lord, I'm hurting right now. I'm in pain right now. I don't understand this right now. I'm struggling with this right now. And so the psalmist says, why are you troubled, soul? Why are you disquieted? Then he sort of talks to himself and says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, for he is my Savior and my God. So sometimes you're getting down. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. I'm afraid. And then you say, listen, self, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Quote the Bible to yourself and remind yourself of the truth of God's word. That's what it means to think biblically. So it's right praying. And it's right thinking, and there's one more, right living. Right living, verse 9. These things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You cannot separate outward action and inward attitude. You need to live these things out in your life. Now, let me say this. Studies have found that 85% of the things that we worry about never happen. Okay, so all the stuff you're worrying about right now, I don't even know what it is. Like some of you are worrying, will he ever stop this sermon? Will this go on forever? I don't know what you're worrying about. 85% of it, it's not going to happen. So a lot of you, it's good to know. But some of you are thinking, yeah, but what about the other 15%? That's a good point. What about the other 15%? What about that fear or that worry? What if this happens? And then it does happen. In fact, not only does it happen, but something even worse than you were considering happens. What then? Well, then the Lord will be with you in your time of difficulty. Listen, God has not promised we're going to live in a pain-free world. It's been 9 years now since our son Christopher left us and went to heaven. And you never get over this. And I just talked to a couple who've been married 10 years longer than Kathy and I have, 52 years. And they lost their son like 34 years ago. And they told me, you never get over it. It's because you don't expect your children to die before you. You expect you die, then your children will die. And it's out of the natural order. You don't ever plan on what kind of casket you'll choose for your child's funeral. And those are the kinds of issues you have to deal with when a child dies or when a loved one dies. And so you say, well, Greg, this is kind of scary to me and even a little frightening for you to even talk about this. Okay, I understand that, but we need to face facts. Loved ones are going to die and hardship will come in our lives. Now, some live relatively pain-free lives, but the rest of us don't get out that way. We live in the land of the dying, but we're headed to the land of the living, you see? So that's the good news. But we have to face these things. But here's the good news. When death comes, and yes, it will come, we have this promise from Jesus when he says in Revelation 1:17, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Oh, I'm so glad he holds the keys. If I had the keys, they would have been lost for years now. I lose every set of keys all the time. I have these little things to find my keys. It's just pathetic. I even lose hotel keys, but Jesus never loses the keys. And he's saying, don't be afraid. I'll be there for you. So here's the thing. Most of the stuff you worry about isn't going to happen. And when things do happen, God will be there for you in the middle of it. You know, someone asked me not long ago, what was the most spiritual moment of your life? In other words, when is the time in your life when you felt God's presence more than any other? Well, I had to think about it. I thought, let's see. Was it the day of my conversion? Well, that was a wonderful moment. I still remember it vividly. That wasn't it. Was it the day I was baptized? Oh, I remember that day like it was yesterday. But that wasn't the most spiritual moment. Was it the day I married Kathy? As wonderful as that day was, that was not my most spiritual moment. And then I realized the most spiritual moment of my life, in other words, a moment where I felt the presence of God more than any other, was when I heard the news that my son had died and God was there with me. And here's my point to you. God will be with you, giving you what you need when you need it. Not necessarily before and never after. So don't worry about it. Don't worry. Remember that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? I hated that song. But you know, theologically, it was right. So turn your worries into prayers. But let me just say this in closing. For some of you that have joined us here, you might be afraid today. You've come in here with something that scared you. Maybe it's a medical scare. Maybe it's a loved one that's died recently. Maybe you had a close brush with death, or you're just in panic about something. And here's what you need to know. God can remove that worry and replace it with a peace that passes all human understanding. And when you have all of your bases covered, you don't have to be afraid. You know why Daniel was able to sleep peacefully in the lion's den after he was arrested for praying publicly? It's because he knew he was in a win-win situation. Win-win. Option number one, he has a good night's sleep and uses a big fat cat for a pillow. Option number two, he's eaten by one of the cats and ends up in heaven. It was win-win. And it's the same for us. Our options are win-win. That's why Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. So my option is this. I can live for the Lord, walk with the Lord, discover his plan for me in this life. And then when death does come, I go straight to heaven. It's win-win. It's a great thing to know. But if you're not a believer in Jesus, listen to this. It's lose-lose. Not win-win, lose-lose, not even win-lose. As some might think, it's lose-lose. Because in this life, you live with guilt. In this life, you live with the repercussions of your sin. In this life, you don't have the peace that passes all human understanding. In this life, you don't have God. And in the afterlife, you'll be separated from God for all eternity. Lose-lose. But you can change that today by believing in Jesus. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean by praying and asking God to forgive you of all of your sin. Because 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. And if we'll turn from our sin and believe in him, he will come and live inside of us. And we can know with certainty we'll go to heaven when we die. We're going to close now in prayer. And I'm going to extend an invitation for anybody here to believe in Jesus who has not yet made this commitment. So if you need Christ in your life, if you need this peace we've been talking about, if you want to be free from your fear and worry, respond to this invitation. Let's all pray. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. And now I pray for every person here who is in attendance or is watching or listening. If they don't know you yet, help them to come to you, help them to believe in you, and help them to be forgiven by you, we would ask now. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer. And wherever you stand with the Lord today, you can make a change and make things right. Pastor Greg would like to help you do that in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. Now, the title of today's study is The Biblical Worldview on Overcoming Fear and Worry. And you can hear the message again online at harvest.org. And then we're excited to make available Pastor Greg's new book on the life of Billy Graham. It's called Billy Graham, The Man I Knew. You know, Pastor Greg, I've thought a bit about what day-to-day life must be like for a major A-list movie star, let's say. You know, they just can't go to the grocery store or walk through the mall. It would turn into a crowd control issue. Mm-hmm. Well, Billy Graham was as recognizable as any movie star and even more well-respected.
Yes.
Could he do everyday things? You know, could he drive through McDonald's?
Well, he would, and he really would be out and about. He didn't have a security team around him. He was just Billy, maybe have one friend with him. But, you know, he was recognized wherever he went. I mean, his profile could have been on Mount Rushmore. Yeah. Such a familiar face, sort of chiseled, you know, incredible. And so I was with him once at the Red Lobster having lunch. And so he had a ball cap on, I guess thinking that would disguise him. And the funny thing is there was an atheist convention going on at the same time as Billy was holding his crusade in this town. And there were people coming up to him that were attending an atheist convention. I know because they had the little ID tag still to be in the convention. But they were thrilled to meet Billy, and he was so gracious to every one of them. Well, anyway, so he had this hat. And he lost it. And then he said to me, Greg, could you get me another hat? I said, absolutely. So I went down to the local mall like I was on a mission from God. I'm getting a hat for Billy Graham. Now, Billy basically wore ball caps. And so I think I found the store. I think it was called Lids maybe, but it was, I walked in, it was, oh my goodness, there were too many hats. There was so many hats to choose from. And then I didn't take the time to find out his hat size. And so I looked and looked. I even prayed, God, help me find the right hat for Billy Graham, my goodness. And I finally chose one. I don't even remember what size it was or what it looked like. And I went back to the hotel and gave it to him. He thanked me and wore it. Then the next day, I opened the paper, and there's a photograph of Billy wearing the hat. I said, I got him that hat. That's the hat I got him. And then I think he misplaced that shortly afterwards. I think he lost hats quite frequently. And I don't really know if they did that much good because people seem to recognize him no matter what.
Well, the stories you tell in the book are just fascinating. You know, you not only tell the stories of times you spent with Billy and Ruth, but you retrace his early life as a new believer, you know, trying to determine God's call on his life. It's just a unique look at the life of this remarkable man of God. It's sort of an evangelist's look at the life of history's greatest evangelist. And we'd like to send you a copy, hot off the press, to thank you for your investment in making these daily studies possible. It's only through listener support that we can feature Pastor Greg's teachings each day. And we'll only be mentioning this a short time longer, so get in touch right away. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call us at 1-800-821-3300. We can take your call anytime, again at 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org and look for Billy Graham, The Man I Knew. Well, Pastor Greg, we heard in today's message the importance of coming to Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins.
Yes.
For those who've never done that before, maybe you could explain just exactly how we do come to Christ.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Dave. You know, sometimes people wonder, well, how does one become a Christian? Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, I'm in the process of converting. Listen, you're either converted or you're not converted. Conversion doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. It doesn't even take hours. It can happen in a flash. Listen, God is only a prayer away. You need to admit your sin to God, turn from it, and put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you can know that you'll go to heaven when you die. Have you done that yet? If not, it would be my privilege to lead you in a prayer of asking Christ to come into your life and forgive you of your sin. If you would like to do that, please pray this prayer after me right now. Again, if you want Christ to come into your life, pray this prayer after me now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but you died on the cross for my sin and paid the price for every wrong I've ever done. I turn from that sin now, and I ask you to come into my life. Be my Savior, be my Lord, be my God, and be my friend. I choose to follow you from this day forward. Thank you for loving me and calling me and accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer and meant it, Jesus Christ himself has come to live inside of you. The Bible says, for as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. As you just prayed that prayer, you are receiving him. So God bless you and welcome to the family of God. And you know what? We have some great resources we want to send you to grow spiritually. So here's Dave with some details.
Yeah, those resources are all assembled in what we call our New Believers Growth Packet. It's free to those who are making a first-time commitment to the Lord today. So get in touch and ask for the New Believers Growth Packet. Our mailing address is A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. We're here to speak with you 24-7. And again, that number, 1-800-821-3300. Or go to harvest.org and click on Know God. Next time, Pastor Greg continues his worldview series with some great insight on where contentment is found. It isn't found where the world tells us to look. That's next time here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.